Das ist das Angebot des Sommers. Die Opel-Wechselwochen. Jetzt einfach Ihren Gebrauchten zu Opel bringen, den Opel Astra oder eins von vielen weiteren Modellen auswählen und bis zu 4.000 Euro Wechselprämie sichern. Noch bis zum 31. August bei allen teilnehmenden Opel-Partnern.
This is the Sports Kings. The Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Brought to you by The Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine, David Ramone, and the Sports Queen, Dolores Lozano.
Hey, hey, hey. We have a jam-packed show for you tonight. Welcome to the Sports Kings Show here on SB Nation Radio. All of us are here tonight, all accounted for. We don't have to do a roll call for no one. The queen is here.
Yes, we have a lot of special guests.
You and David have been busy. I mean, you guys have really been working and collaborating and getting along together.
I usually never to bring give her credit tonight. At all. But
I was Dolores waiting for takes, my credit.
Yeah, she takes all the credit.
I'm looking at all the text messages going back and forth
week,
this week.
Next week, I'll go back to the old ways to, you know.
David needs to step up his game.
I think she tries.
Oh, I'm going to have to step up.
Because she initiates and then you jump in, right?
And I just jump in. I finish.
He's like my hype man, so okay. He makes it happen.
Our producer, Jose Petito, over there, you rocking the soccer jersey. You still got a little World Cup fever going on over there, right?
Oh, the World Cup fever never goes away, Gene.
All right,
the
I
World
see.
Cup goes away, but the fever
and
doesn't.
And also, like, it's been a while since I've seen a soccer jersey with a collar. Like, what was that, like late 90s?
Yeah, it's a retro of their 94 jersey.
Oh,
colorful.
94.
Yeah.
Okay. So, D-Lo, I'm going to let you introduce our guests for the first hour.
Yes. We have Coach Michael Haywood, the head coach from Texas Southern University, in the house with us tonight.
Yes.
Thank you, Dolores. That was awfully nice of you.
That's all right. Coach, we are more than excited to have you here.
Hey, it's a great pleasure to be here. I'm fortunate enough to be at Texas Southern University and here with you guys tonight.
That's what I'm talking about because
yes, sir.
Football season is right around the corner, and, you know, we kind of jumped into the NFL. Oh, and by the way, there's some NFL games going on tonight. We'll get you caught up on that, but it's all about college football here in this first hour. Am I correct, David?
Yes.
I know you're excited.
I mean, yeah, of course.
David
and
has been waiting for this moment.
Yes.
And especially whenever Bobby Beast was producing us, because we graduated at the same time, we got to walk together. So to have the head coach of Texas Southern University, it's such a pleasure. So we get to talk about the football program and a little bit of other athletics, you know, talk about, you know, because I feel that, you know, the HBCUs never really get, you know, the shot, especially on the national stage. So this is going to be a fun show for us.
It is going to be a fun show. And I'll tell you what, in the next segment, we are going to jump in. Coach, you ready? We coming at you.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, folks, stick around. It's going to be an exciting first hour and second hour here on the Sports Kings Show on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Brought to you by The Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
Just gotta let that play for a little bit. Wow. The queen of soul, Aretha Franklin, passed away today at the age of 76. And I would probably be out of line if we didn't talk about the great contribution she made to just everyone. I mean, the songs that she put out were definitely feel-good songs, but it was that feel-good soul type of feeling. And this was, I don't even know if this was one of my favorite songs, but I don't think there was an Aretha Franklin song that I didn't like. So, David, what do you think?
This actually takes me back, Gene, from a couple weeks ago when we were all hanging out when your family came into town. And you were so adamant about playing the Blues Brothers.
Yes.
And, of course, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. Even though I wasn't old enough to know who any of those people were growing up watching that movie. I remember the scene when they walk in with Matt Murphy into the diner. And, of course, mm-hmm. they go through their whole stick and singing and everything. But the whole movie was great. But you got to see it displayed on mm-hmm. national television, or mm-hmm. on a movie, to be exact. Because I know, like, back in the day, there was a lot more, like, shows that did the national concerts, basically the shows that actually did the live performances and everything like that. So that was definitely a bigger time for music, especially around that time too.
Yeah, that was the Blues Brothers and the song Think.
Yeah.
Amazing. Dolores?
It was choreographed so
well,
perfectly.
Aretha Franklin was the queen of soul. She recorded her first song at the age of 14, had about 18 Grammy wins, so she definitely has my respect. That is my favorite song. And sad to see her go, but her legacy will definitely live on.
Well, one queen to another queen. And Coach?
Hey, I send my condolences to her family. But I remember as a kid driving up to Bastrop, Texas, out I-10 to 71, driving in the back of the station wagon. And my mother would put in that 8-track tape of Aretha Franklin. And we would bebop and sing all the way to Bastrop, Texas. What a great experience. And it brought back fond memories today.
And, Coach, just like I told you when we were off there, they don't know nothing about 8-track tapes. Okay? You should have probably brought one in here so they know what the hell we're talking about.
Really?
Wow, but yeah, thanks, Jose, for hooking us up with that. That, and I just found out, of course, I didn't find out this. I mean, I knew that Elvis Presley passed away in August. I didn't know it was the same day.
Ooh.
Elvis Presley.
Breaking news.
41 years after the day Elvis Presley passes away.
And also,
the Queen of Soul passes away.
And also on this day, too, we can bring up the whole our social media segment real quick. It's also someone else's birthday.
Yeah. Amazing. So since you put this on me.
Yeah. Go ahead and start it out.
We do our favorite tweets of the week, Coach. So and this one here, Angela Bassett turns 60 years old. Now, there isn't a man out there in America that believes this woman is 60 years old.
Not at all.
No. And, of course, I was upset to find out that she was still married to Courtney Vance. But happy birthday, Angela Bassett.
Ain't that kind of funny, too? Like, some people get so intertwined of what someone looks like, but kind of really forget of what they're doing in real life. Well, I mean, we see her in all the movies and everything like that, but I didn't even know she was married.
Hey, wait a minute. I would have to fight my son, Justin. You guys met Justin.
Yeah.
He loves her.
Oh, yeah, definitely a fight.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, son. Yeah, that's your mother. Your favorite tweet?
My favorite tweet. I'm going to go a little lame with this, and this was yesterday. Me and Jose had the pleasure to joining Mike from Comic-Cast. We did a podcast with him, filling in. And, of course, that's comic books, movies, all that stuff. And after we left the show, it came out that Tom Cruise might be the leading person for a movie called The Green Lantern. So I'm not like a Tom Cruise fan. I like his movies just because it's all action. He does his own stunts. That's all cool and everything. But Tom Cruise seems like, to me, a person, if I knew him in real life, I probably wouldn't want to stick around him too long. So that's just
interesting
cool.
Guy.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. A little too interesting, though, for my taste. Just a little bit.
My tweet of the week, I just want to highlight C.J. McCollum. Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Okay, so I would love to have him on the show because he's always on Twitter just talking that smack. This week he was talking about how anyone that signs with any star players that are joining with the Warriors are disgusting.
Oh. But can you, like, and you know what? I don't mind this new age of sports where the player has a little bit more leeway and can really express their feelings a little bit more, because in reality, they don't need us to do that anymore. They don't need to tell anybody in the media of how they really feel. They can just kind of display that themselves. And I think CJ has a really good, not just good platform, but just what he does with it. I mean, his podcast is one of the best podcasts in America. Mm-hmm. The fact that he can have someone like KD come in and join him and just talk that mess and do the little things, right? Like, that's, to me, that makes the sport a little bit fun.
I think if KD had a podcast, that would just be
that
one
would
of
be
the most
hilarious.
Entertaining podcast to listen to.
It'll be entertaining. I'm pretty sure
him and
he'll
CJ
just,
should just collaborate more often.
They should just do that. That should be. I mean, they're both on the West Coast already, and the power of radio reaches so much. You can not even be in the same city. Just go ahead and do that already.
Yeah.
I say, Gene, have you seen any of that, like, back and forth?
No, I have
like
not.
That?
You guys always are enlightening me to some things.
This is why we put you on the Twitter, so you can know.
I know. I just don't have time to tweet. Coach, Coach Hayward, you got a favorite tweet?
My favorite tweet is that I'm on this show tonight, 94.1.
Yes. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Because I tweeted
that.
Oh,
well, my staff just tweeted it out.
See, oh, there we go. Awesome. They working.
That's
they
what I'm talking
working.
About.
Not in practice, and they still
There's
working.
There's nothing like delegating. Just delegating. Have somebody do that stuff. So, wow, Coach, I tell you what, we are so excited to have you here in the studios with us because, you know, this is about the time, and I know you got a busy schedule because this is about the time when your guys are out there, and they probably your team is probably glad that you're here with us because you're not working them right now.
Well, you know, they're really glad that I'm here with here tonight because we had to move up our meetings, but we're practicing in the morning. We walk out on the field at 8:40, and then we're out on the field for about 2.5 hours, and then we're done for the day with on the field. But I tell you, the thing that we really have to be careful of is the heat index because right. it's extremely hot. And the things that we do in building multiple water breaks in throughout has really helped our players tremendously.
That's good.
And how about stuff like, is that something that y'all really consider now, like the health and nutrition and making sure you get those breaks and kind of regulating to see where everyone's at physically?
Well, we do a lot with health and nutrition. Our trainer, Omni, is doing a really good job for us, and she's working with the nutrition aspect of it as well as the health of the student-athletes. And we're kind of beat up at this time after going through these single-day practices. And then we also have Alex Watkins, our trainer, who works with them from a physical standpoint but also works with them in their nutrition because he feeds them their snack every night. But he also works with them in the meals in which they eat and making sure that we have the appropriate meals throughout the day and our 3 square meals a day and then our snack at night.
Oh, that works because I'm pretty sure a lot of these guys, especially when the freshmen coming in, they kind of used to, you know, mom cooking at home and kind of used to eating whatever they want to. So is that also sometimes like hard for them to kind of adjust, you know, to kind of make sure they're just eating those meals and not trying to sneak off and go get, you know, Mickey D's or Frenchie's real quick?
Well, it's kind of hard to do when you take their keys.
Yeah.
Right? When they check in, we take their keys, and so they aren't able to go anywhere. The only place they go is to the dining hall and to the practice facility. Okay. And also to the pool because we go to the pool 2-3 times a week.
Oh, nice.
For aqua rehab, and, mm-hmm. and it's really helping our young student athletes. Oh. But, you know, there's no meal like a home-cooked meal.
Absolutely.
But I will say that our dining hall is doing a great job because if I hadn't had any complaints by now, I won't get any.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So is that one thing of the whenever you are hitting the recruiting trail, you know, the parents want to feed you and try to get to know you and stuff like that. Is that kind of hard to say no sometimes?
Never say no.
Of course not. Yeah.
No, because whenever you walk into the house, you eat anything that they put on your plate.
Yeah.
And there's one time we Coach Guidry, who's the head coach at McNeese, we're at Miami University, and we go to a home in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and we go there for a meal. And so we go in, and they have homemade tortillas and, you know, all types of different things. All right, tortillas. And they have all different things. And they were outdoors when we drove up. They're outdoors, and they had a gumbo going and a stew going, and they had the barbecue pit going. So we go in and sit down, and they put these TV trays in front of us. And it was the last name was White was the family's name. And they came in with these trays, like trays that you sit your plate on. But these were huge trays, and they set this tray down in front of me. And on this tray, there was rice, gravy, venison, and then there was a squirrel.
Ooh.
A squirrel with the head on it looking right at me. And I'm looking at this squirrel, and I look over there at Lance Guidry, and I'm like, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And ate every single bite on that plate.
Wow.
So whatever
how did it taste?
Like squirrel. Whatever they put on your plate, I think it's best that you eat it.
Oh, wow. Can you at least tell me, did you get that recruit?
Oh, yeah, we got
it. Oh, yeah.
And he started for us as a true freshman.
How about that?
Help us win the championship. Great young man.
Oh,
can
man.
You tell us who your favorite recruit is?
My favorite recruit
of all time.
Of all
top
time.
Five.
He's got to be careful with this one, though.
Well,
right?
You got to be careful, but
yeah.
you don't have to rank them.
You look at it this way. You have Benny Brazil, who was over at Westbury High School to play for us. And I won't talk about the young players that we have today because then you have jealousy in the building.
Absolutely.
Then you have Joseph Badai, who went to Sharpstown High School here in Houston, Texas. And then you also had Kevin Falk, who played 14 years with the New England Patriots, who's on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, those are three of my favorites that I keep in contact with. And then you got Booger, who just went to Monday Night Football.
Absolutely.
And Booger's going to come over and speak to our team when he comes over to do Monday Night Football with the Texans.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, so it works out.
Hey, folks, we are talking with Coach Michael Haywood from Texas Southern University. He's with us for the entire first hour here on the Sports Kings and Queens show. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Coach, we got lots of more questions for you, okay? You listen to the Sports Kings and Queen here on SB Nation Radio.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio. Brought to you by The Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
Yes, we are back. Once again, we are paying tribute to the great queen of soul, Aretha Franklin, who passed away today at the age of 76. Queen, rest in peace as we continue to listen to your music. And that is the great thing about the great ones. They always leave their legacy behind. And I know we're going to be listening to Aretha Franklin music for a very, very long time. Tonight, folks, we are joined by Texas Southern University head coach, and that will be Michael Haywood. He's in studio with the Sports Kings and Queen. And this is a treat because I've never had a head coach of any kind in the studios with us to do a show. This is an honor.
Is that mostly because you get on their bad side already and they decline, or
those are NBA coaches that don't like me?
Right.
No,
so you just have, okay.
I actually got a good reputation with the NFL and NC2A.
You pick and choose your battles, I see.
Yeah, well, yes, but I mean, coach is a big guy here, so I'm definitely not starting nothing tonight or any other time. I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna be great. But yeah, this is great stuff here. And what I didn't say to all our listeners out there, this is the Sports Kings' fourth year with Gal Media here in our headquarters here in Houston, Texas. So this is just all good. It's like a big celebration of some sort.
It really is.
So I know where I want to go. I want to talk some Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Just go ahead and get it out the way.
Come on. You know, I just got to know what was it like. Because I had a chance to go there. I was driving through Indiana on my way to Cleveland, and I just did a big detour and got out. And I said, I got to see what all of this is about. And when I saw the Golden Dome, I got down on my knees. Coach, tell us, what was it like to play for Notre Dame?
It was really a great experience. To go to attend such a highly academic institution, being Catholic, going to Catholic grade schools here in Houston, St. Peter's Apostle, St. Thomas High School, and then going to a Catholic university, it helped me to fulfill my beliefs and my Catholic faith, and I truly enjoyed that experience. Played with a bunch of great guys. We have a group text that I really don't know how many guys are on there because it's endless, the number of guys on there, because Brandy Wells and Tim Brown were sending pictures of Tim Brown at the statue over in Notre Dame with he and Lou Holtz the other day. Robert Banks, who's here, who's in the Virginia Hall of Fame. We were just sending various texts and talking about different things that had happened when we were there. Mm-hmm. But we're called Bond. And that's Brothers of Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
And it helped us to unify off the field with one another that we still have this chemistry 30-some years later.
Wow.
But at the same time, we still had unity and solidarity with our teammates at the time in which we were there. But the thing about it is that Notre Dame doesn't change. It's always the same. However, they sent out their picture of their pinstripe uniform.
Oh, I saw that.
And so it was somewhat questionable, pinstripe uniform that they sent out looking like the Yankees.
I understand it. Like, you know, they want to keep in the theme of getting to be able to play over there.
Uh-huh.
But
I get it.
I got the whole, you know, the consensus thought that I don't think anyone liked them, Coach.
They're quite interesting. That's what I would say, because I'm not really sure who picked them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to offend anyone, but they're quite interesting.
I feel also Notre Dame is one of those schools where it's quite best to keep it traditional, correct?
I would agree. The green jerseys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Outstanding. That was I should have them hanging up in my closet today. All right. But it's outstanding. I think, you know, that pinstripe uniform, hey, we got some Notre Dame guys that are with the Yankees organization, that work within the Yankees organization. Hey, they're floating on cloud nine one day now. So it's a great honor for us to be able to play at Yankee Stadium as well.
How about whenever you're playing back then, Coach? Was there any games that stood out to you? Because I'm pretty sure, like, a big game versus Michigan or USC, like, I'm pretty sure those were the games that, you know, everyone came out to, you know, come out to see y'all. But was there any special game that stuck out to you while you were playing there?
Well, at Notre Dame, when you go to play, there's no off week. Every game that you go to, you have to give your best effort because everybody's coming to shoot you down. We were talking about this the other day. We were talking about the Big Ten, the SEC, the independents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I honestly believe after 8 years in the SEC, a couple years in the Big 12, that the SEC is the best conference going. You know, I believe that. And after being in it for 8 years, I used to see it every week.
Right.
But, you know, when you're at the University of Notre Dame, you're going to play somebody in the ACC. You're going to play someone in the Big Ten. You're going to play someone in the Pac-12, mm-hmm. you know, the Big 12. You're going to play everybody. And so you will see a different offense and a different defense every week. Mm-hmm. So you have to be prepared from a psychological point of view and from and an intellectual point of view to be able to adjust each and every time. But Sebastian Rivers, who's here tonight with us, and Sebastian's here doing an intern with us. And, you know, his dad was David Rivers, who played at the University of Notre Dame, first pick to the Lakers. You know, he and I were getting into these discussions the other day, you know, because he's a Big Ten guy. All right. But the bottom line is that we talked about the Michigan State game when Michigan State was dominating us. That's the most physical team that I've ever played against and the most physical team that I've ever coached against.
Wow.
And they were just dominating us. And we were going into the fourth quarter. As we were into the fourth quarter, we were down, I think, by 4 or 5 points, whatever it was. And we kept talking about what we had to do on special teams to change the game. And we called a timeout. We go over to the sideline. I tell Pat Ballage, I say, hey, Pat, you got to get the up back to look your way because I'm going to go over the top if he looks your way. He looked his way. I went over the top, blocked the kick up, sat down. All right, we recover the ball inside the 20-yard line. A few plays later, Pinkett goes in for the touchdown. We win the game. You know, that's one of the most memorable games because they were physically assaulting us. And we were able to come back over adversity through some good plays and win the football game.
Wow. Great stuff, folks. Once again, this is Coach Michael Haywood here telling us some great stories. So Tim Brown lives up in Dallas. You guys talk a bit?
TB's in Dallas, yeah. We always talk by text. And I was just talking to Reggie Brooks, who played at Notre Dame, tailback at Notre Dame from Oklahoma. I was just talking with him today. And we were talking about the Stanford game, and which I'm going to go up and I'm going to see the Stanford game because we have an off week. And he was talking about all the players that were coming back up for the Stanford game, and Tim was one of the guys that were coming back up. So I sent TB a text, and so I'll see him up there for that game. But, you know, I try to go back at least once a year to see a game and still support. But the bottom line is that we got to take care of home, and we got to take care of Texas Southern University football.
That's what I'm talking about. And I'm going to see my first Texas Southern University football game.
Oh, nice.
This year, yeah. I haven't coached. I just moved from Dallas. So, and David and these guys, Bobby Beats, trying to get me anointed
it's
here.
It's different going to BBVA, though, because, I mean, you want to think soccer, but, I mean, it's just kind of a weird feeling whenever you do go in there because it almost looks aesthetically different whenever you go there for a football game. And also, you kind of have that vibe that, well, wow, there's a football game going on in here. But that, to me, it stands out just a little bit. It's because it's a little bit different. When you go to different schools in the SWAC, you don't really get that atmosphere. You don't really get to play in that kind of a stadium or that kind of looking, you know, anything, really. Whenever we went to Grambling, when I was the basketball manager, so we went to Grambling, honestly, that was a really cool thing for me to see because I never really witnessed a field just like that. They just kind of sank in like
that.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure when the fans are there, they're right on top of you, and they just echoes all through.
Oh, it does. It seems like they're sitting on your shoulder when they're screaming and yelling at you.
Yeah.
But it is a pit. It's like they dug out a pit. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, Coach, let's go ahead and get right into it. You've been, you know, telling us all these other stories. Oh, about to cut to a break?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Jose always does that.
Well, because
I was about to.
We got to have a cliffhanger for the coach. Okay, you know? He knows it's coming, right? He's already prepared. He's got the easiest job of anything tonight. So, hey, when we come back, we got more questions for Coach Haywood here, including looking at that schedule that's staring you in the face here for the season. So it's the Sports Kings and Queens right here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
As we continue to pay tribute to the Queen of Soul, this was one of those songs we were talking about. If you haven't seen the Blues Brothers, this is one of those scenes where Aretha actually got a chance to sing this song. I think she was a cook and a waitress.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he asked for a whole chicken. Whole chicken, a slice of bread, something else. But it was so funny when you were trying to tell Gene Jr. about the church scene.
Oh.
And
yeah.
A couple days later, I was watching Family Guy. They reenacted the whole church scene when they're jumping up and down.
I know. And after paying $3.99 to order the Blues Brothers, because I was trying to make sure that my son knew what we were talking about. And the next day it comes on TV for free. You know I was upset, right?
That's how it goes.
But anyway, we have Coach Michael Haywood here, head coach of Texas Southern University Tigers, joining us. And we're talking college football. I mean, he is very busy. And for him to come down and talk to us about the upcoming season, we chiming it up about Notre Dame. And I think, David, you were just hitting him up with some more good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to really go into why he's here for. We're here for Texas Southern University. And, Coach, just go ahead and just start it out. What's the expectations for this year? I know last year wasn't, you know, ideal for you. So what would you be doing to kick it up a notch, and what can we expect?
Well, we're talking about our mission, and our mission is to win the SWAC. You know, and it starts with UT Permanent Basin, and that's what we're looking forward to on September 1 in BBVA Compass Stadium. But also in our mission is also to graduate 100% of our student athletes, because I think that it's really important that young men graduate from college instead of going to play football. You know, it's the most important thing. When we were at Miami University, we graduated by last year there, we graduated 100% of our student athletes. And that's what we set our goal for our student athletes, because it provides, if you use football as a stepping stone in your career, there's an opportunity for you to have success. And so we talk about getting our grind on from an academic standpoint as well as an athletic standpoint.
And that's perfect, too, because a lot of people don't really realize that whenever they're going to school, and, you know, not a lot of people have, you know, the chance to get in your school paid for.
Right.
And that's something a lot of people don't really get to utilize, or they don't really start thinking about until after they leave, or maybe they transfer, or whatever the case is. Then all of a sudden they want to go back to school, and it's going to have to start coming out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's
something they don't really think about.
Yeah, because we have some guys that are still coming around from the previous years, and they're working in town. Some of them are now in the police department.
Oh, wow.
And we have one guy that's in the police department over in Atlanta, Georgia, and they come back and they talk about life experiences and what culture shocks that they had and going out and having to pay their own bills.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And had to worry about breakfast, lunch, and dinner when you had 3 square meals a day and a bed to lay in.
Right. Yeah.
And a comfort of an air conditioner and everything over your head, and which you didn't have to pay for. And so these life experiences help them to understand the direction in which they're going, along with we bring in people like we brought in Darrell Wilson, former vice president of General Electric, who just retired. We brought him in with a couple other guys from GE to come in and speak to our team, mm-hmm. you know, to let them know these are the positions in which you can aspire to become. Mm-hmm. The jobs in which you can look forward to. And Darrell talked about how he went to college and how what he studied and how it led him to be the vice president of energy for GE. And so we bring in different types of people to speak to the players and give them an idea, hey, there are other things out here other than some of the jobs in which you've seen in your history.
Coach, I got to ask you a question. So you talk about, you know, making sure kids graduate, get on with their life. So in your coaching career, has there ever been a moment where a kid was struggling in the classroom side? And, you know, either he came to you or you went to him, and How do you identify those players?
Well, we had a young man that was struggling, and one of the main reasons that he was struggling is because he had a learning disability. And it wasn't detected until he took the SAT test. And he had a learning disability in dealing with English, right? Because he tested really high in math and really low in English, and there was a discrepancy in it. And one of the things that we did when we got him to the university is that we set him with special tutoring, and we got him special counseling to teach him how to overcome his disability. Mm-hmm. And so we have a young lady named Tristan, who's our academic advisor, really does a great job with our student athletes, and she really helps them and assists them to overcome some of the disabilities in which they have, setting them up with tutorials, people to come in and with tutorials during the week, and we're getting tremendously better. Okay. You know, IEPR now has really gone up. I think we're going to be somewhere around 965, 970, which is really good. And we're doing a much better job with our student athletes. And I'm thankful for the people that are in the organization. And then thankful also for Dr. Charles McClellan, who's our previous athletic director, who just stepped down a few days ago to go be the commissioner of the SWAC, for the accessibility in which he gave us with economic funds and facility changes to help us to be able to do these things.
Great stuff.
Oh, yeah, Dr. McClellan, he not just helped out athletes, but also helped out people like me as well, too, doing sports management. So well-deserved for him to go move up to the SWAC. So, Coach, Jay Kristoff, Lynn Coyette, quarterback battle rages on. I seen a video from Butch Alexander, and he was saying that it doesn't really seem like there's too much animosity between them. It seems like they're both helping each other out. They seem like, you know, they're both really competitive, but at the same time trying to be able to catch what's going on and everything. So what do you see coming out of those two guys, and where does that stand?
Well, I would say it starts with the offense coordinator, who's also the quarterback coach of Morris Watts, that the unity that he teaches in the room and the togetherness and the family atmosphere in which is in the room, which is carried over to the three quarterbacks that are in the room, Glenn Coulier, Jay Kristoff, and Devin Williams. It's really interesting how they help each other throughout the day, how they help each other throughout practice and coming in and watching film in their free time. It's more of a family atmosphere, although it's extremely competitive because one of those three guys is going to have to be the starter. Right now, it's out of Jay and Glenn, and one of those two are going to be the starters, and they're about neck and neck. You know, a few days ago, one was ahead of the other one a little bit more. We watched film today. They're about the same. All right, so we will not make a decision on the quarterback situation until probably 10 days before the first game.
Okay. Wow. And this is something, too, I see in not just, you know, Texas Southern, but, I mean, a lot of bigger institutions, even Power 5 schools, where they'll wait until the last, you know, second that they could to hold off the seat to name that starter.
Right.
Do you see that there's not just because it's, you know, they're neck and neck, but is there other things that maybe, like, may weigh in that decision for them to just hold on just because, you know, you just want to see more time of them or more tape of them?
Well, the leadership ability and how the players respond to them, how the wide receivers, offensive line, tight end, running backs respond to the different quarterbacks that are in, because certain student athletes respond differently to different leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we had a scrimmage last Saturday, and in the scrimmage last Saturday, the offense really dominated the defense, which I was shocked. However, as I stated to the offense on Tuesday, you must be reading your press clippings because the defense has dominated every day since then.
Wow.
So now tomorrow is going to be a really light day. We're only on the field for about 1 hour and 30 minutes tomorrow. However, we're going to have scrimmage situations on Saturday starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. The cream will rise to the top, you know. Is it time for you as an offensive unit to step back up and be accountable and move the ball down the field like you did in the last scrimmage? Or is the defense going to continue to dominate? And the leadership from the quarterback position will be one of the key factors in helping this offense regain its momentum.
Oh, nice. So, Coach, so how about tell us a little bit about the defense now? You're saying the defense was a little bit more dominant throughout the year. Now the offense came up a little bit. But, you know, I'm pretty sure the defense knows, you know, where they're at, too. So they will probably want to come back and get them for that. So tell me a little bit about this defense.
Defense, we're a 3-4 team, basically, and we'll line up and play some 4-3 as well. But I tell you what, that front seven is playing really well for us right now. You have Jimmy White at the nose guard, who's a true sophomore, is playing outstanding at the defensive line. Stafford, who's a transfer in his second year, is playing defensive end and really doing a good job for us. And then we have some JC young men. We have Garcia that came in from California, Terrell Taylor, who came in from Ventura, California, that are really going to get a lot of playing time and doing a really good job and competing for the starting job. We have Julian Marcantel at the Mike linebacker, and Julian led the conference in tackling last year. Sean Jones was all conference the year before, and, you know, Sean's doing a really good job for us. Patrick Howell has really stepped up out of Pearland, Texas, and Pearland Dobie High School, and doing a tremendous job for us. And then Maine Anderson is doing a good job for us. That's that front seven that is really playing extremely physical and dominating up front after the last game. We've been mangled in the secondary with hamstrings, foot contusions. Mm-hmm. We've been mangled. But I tell you this, Matt Stevenson out of North Shore High School, a sophomore, has really stepped up and playing well. Marquise Walker is coming back from Baylor High School, who's a walk-on. He's going to be a junior this year. Earned a scholarship this year because he started last year. Wow. Is really doing a good job and coming back. And then Murray out of St. Pius High School. And I tell him all the time, I said, you know, when I was at St. Thomas, we dominated St. Thomas. Yeah. I tell him this every day. And they sit there and they just say, well, Coach, times have changed. Yeah. But he's doing a good job. And then we moved Angel, who was at receiver. We moved him over to corner. And that may be the best move in which we've made. But there's a young man out of Shreveport, Louisiana, by the name of Daigle, who stepped up in the secondary and becoming a leader. And, you know, we might have to put him on scholarship as well if he remains as a starter.
Nice. Coach, you mentioned a couple schools just now when you were talking about your players, Pearland, North Shore. And I was looking through the roster. You even got some guys from Cibolo even in there, right, too. You're recruiting out of these programs that actually, you know, go compete. Whenever I was at, you know, TSU, whenever it was Johnny Cole, Daryl Ashbery, there wasn't too many guys even from in Texas really being recruited to go to Texas Southern. So tell me how, like, you're getting a lot of people locally and also from programs with winning tradition all there.
Because he's Coach Michael Haywood. What kind of question is that?
Over the 20-some years of coaching, I was fortunate enough to recruit Texas. When I wasn't in Texas, I was fortunate enough to recruit Texas and develop relationships with a lot of coaches. And the goal is, you know, when I was at Texas and the recruiting coordinator, our goal was to get into every school in the state of Texas. I think there were 720-some high schools or whatever it was. Can't remember the exact number. Mm-hmm. But within a two-year period of time, we wanted to get in every high school. And so the relationships in which you built, taking care of their young student athletes, taking care of mama's babies,
right?
All right? And making sure that the platform in which they have delivered him to, you build upon that foundation and send him back a better man. Mm. Helps us in the recruiting process along with graduating these young people. You know, and when we go into homes, I tell them all the time, I'm not going to promise. Only one thing that I'm going to promise to you, and it doesn't deal with anything with football. Wow. If your young man stays with us for 4 years, he will graduate with a degree from Texas Southern University. That's the only promise that I can make to you. I can't make anything regarding football, only academics.
How about that?
Wow.
Hey, Coach, this is great stuff, guys. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the first hour with Coach Michael Haywood from Texas Southern University. You're listening to the Sports Kings and Queen and the Coach here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by The Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
I keep forgetting about certain songs that this lady made, and I mean, it's just, wow, this is a good one. And you young folks might think of En Vogue when you hear this song, but this was the queen that made this song right here. This is great stuff. Well, you know what? I don't think there's just not enough time in the show to get everything. So, Coach, I just want to talk about, you know, what are you doing to get your team ready for this, your first game, your opener? I mean, I know that's important to you, and what, how do you get them ready to get that, to start the season off on the right track?
That we have to make sure that we understand is that it's three components to the game. You have offense, defense, and special teams. And when you bring in some JC kids and some young freshmen that are going to have opportunity to play, you have to bond them together, all right? So, like for today, we have words of the day, all right? Today's word was solidarity. All right, and for people out there, the unity or agreement of feeling or action, especially among and with a common interest and goal. All right, so we set what our goal is. What is our goal? Our goal is to win the SWAC. However, what do we have to do? We have to show up every day as a champion and prepare to be a champion every day of practice. That means take care of the small things, technique, fundamentals, all right, taking care of your body on the field and off the field and eating appropriately. But also making sure that you take care of your teammates from a mental and physical aspect and encourage them and not discourage them.
Okay. I was with you until you said eating appropriately. I think I would have. Sorry, Coach.